Now, with Westmoreland, there's no trouble at all. He tells me everything, but you must know who's going to see the chief of state and what he's going for and what they're saying to him, because after all, the chief of state is... You represent the American chief of state, and you have to know what the Vietnamese chief of state is up to.
Yeah.
But I know how you feel about that.
Yeah. We can work that out.
Oh, sure.
No problem.
Sure.
And they tell me that Westmoreland is a great...
he's a great
admirer of yours. At least that's what McNamara said.
We got along fine, and he agreed on this napalm business, not to use it on anything where there were civilians, and I believe, from all I can learn here in Washington, he has kept his word on that. And that is quite a thing for a military man to agree to.
Yes.
Oh, he's excellent, and Alexis Johnson is fine, and I don't have any difficulty with that at all, and I certainly will do my very best, and I'm very, very much honored.
Let's just consider it done, subject to my talking to Rusk, and if he has any new ideas or problems, I'll call you back. Otherwise, you just forget it. Don't say a word about it, and then come on down here whenever you feel it's convenient, and I'll tell Mac to be looking for you, and then you all can talk a little before Taylor comes
well,
in.
Well, I can talk to Mac Bundy about
yes,
it.
Yes, sir. Anytime. Anything.
Yeah, because I was planning to go home today, because I can get down here in very short, and we have...
Where are you? In Washington?
I'm in Washington, yeah.
Hell, I didn't know that. What are you doing? I thought I was talking to you in Boston or something.
Well, I was in the executive office building yesterday afternoon.
Why in the hell didn't you tell me? I'd had you come out over here to my room. I never had any idea you were here.
Yes, sir. I came down. I went to the Brookings Institution last night, and
I wish I'd known that. Well,
I was right in the executive office building there in Chester Cooper's room, reading telegrams.
Me damn.
Yeah.
What's George doing? Teaching?
George is doing a very fundamental and interesting thing in Central America on a grant from AID, but with the money being raised by the Central Americans to create an Institute of Executive Management down there to develop their own resources. They have gone into the poorest province in the whole of Central America, in northern Panama, where with the most communist province, they set up a farmers cooperative, and for the first time these miserable peasants got a cash crop, and the communist thing has just gone right on down. And George is the action officer on that, under a grant from the AID for the Harvard Business School. It's tremendously encouraging.
It sounds exciting.
Right at the fundamentals.
Sounds exciting.
It is very exciting, and that's what he's doing. He's about to become a professor, I think, at the Harvard Business School. He teaches there, but then he does this too, on a grant from AID. It's very exciting, and it's one of these things that really gets at the fundamentals. I'm very flattered you should remember him, and he will be.
Oh, I like him very much.
And
I like
he will.
Him very much.
We will get up some good young names.
Please do that. But tell him if you don't, I'm going to mess him up.
Well, you know, I don't worry about your ever having any trouble on the domestic front. And, well, civil rights has been marvelous, and I realize television is important, but that's not the thing that's going to make trouble for you. The things that are going to make trouble are the foreign things, Southeast Asia, NATO, France, those things. And I was very grateful to you for thinking of me for this television job, but I really think this other thing is where I can be of the greatest use to you, and I also think I can do it better.
Yes, I think that's true, although
I was thinking last night, I have never looked at a non-news television show.
No, I don't either.
I never have.
I don't either.
I look at you on television.
I don't even know.
I look at Huntley Brinkley, but I don't look at any of the others.
Well, that's the way I am. That's exactly the way I am. But you would do that, you'd do it superbly, and you'd have it to occupy in its proper place, the home and the government and everything else if you did it. But this is so much different. I was a little selfish in that. If I didn't want to just urge you to go back in the swamp holes and the diggings, and short of that, I just like to kind of have you around and visit with. And I, what makes me so damn mad, I didn't know that you were sitting here. I had you right over here. I was stretched out in my bed. I just waked up from a little nap and kind of had a dream, and I want somebody to kind of philosophize with and talk And I called you, and here you were right under my shadow.
Well, I'm always available to philosophize and talk, and I like to come to Washington. It's the easy thing for me to do. We have 6 damn good planes a day. So you just reach out for me anytime, Mr. Well,
now, before you leave, then, suppose you go by and talk to Mac Butler this morning. And
want me to go and see him?
Yeah. Tell him, I tell him to talk to him again. Tell him that we've made this understanding subject to us, and we'll get that out, and you all kind of get your heads together and think about how we ease into it, when, how, and so forth, and what you can be doing in the meantime, and explore this possibility of visiting some of these other places, or getting you a jet, and go around some of these other places before you go in there, and so you'll have that behind you.
Yeah.
See what you think about it, and if you don't think it's all right, well, do it. It's just an idea of mine, and
well, it's a question of what the element of hurry is in getting onto the job in Saigon. I think it's a very good idea indeed.
We'll find that out the 29th. What is today? The 25th or
6th? 25th, yes, sir.
He'll be in here in 3 or 4 days. We'll find that out, see what he says, and then take it from there. In the meantime, you talk to Mac, and I'll talk to Russ.
You've talked to Mac already.
Oh, yeah. Mac. Monday, I called him over here.
Oh, I see. Well, then I can call him now, and he'll know.
After I talked to you yesterday, I called him over here and said that I just waked up thinking of a very fine thing that Lodge could do for the country. And I called him. I asked him to give me his advice on the Saigon thing. And I said he did not say so, but I gathered from our conversation that he would be willing to help in anything in the government, and he would try to do what I want him to do on this other job, but I believe he'd be available and would go out there to give Taylor some relief, and I think that's something we ought to give some serious thought to right now. And of course, he took off and hadn't landed yet, because he's just very pleased with it, and so then I went into a meeting on another subject of military pay. About 6:30, 7 o'clock, and I had John Macy, who's my personnel
man,
and a good man.
Very good man.
And he's an admirer of yours, and Bob McNamara. I had them stay over afterwards. So I asked McNamara what his opinion would be if I'd made this move. And he said, well, I just think it would be the best possible thing that could happen. I just don't think there's anyone that could do this like he could do it. And I said, well, now there are 3 or 4 possibilities. It'd be you and Mac Mundy and Dean Rusk, maybe Bill Mundy, and maybe Mac Naughton. Now, I've got to have someone that'll work and cooperate with Alexis. He's gone through a lot of troubles out there. He's got his hands on it. He's the best fellow we had in here.
Yeah.
He'll work with somebody, but I just think it's asking him to do a little bit too much to work under Bill Mundy or to work under Mac Naughton as a deputy, because he wonders when his time comes.
Yeah.
And so that's that problem. I'm not about to send Rusk, McNamara, Mundy right at this moment, Mac Mundy. So it seems to me that this is just the answer to our prayers. And he quite agreed. He didn't agree. He agreed that Mac Naughton was extremely competent. And he agreed that we ought to get the best man we could to be chief of staff. He didn't agree to let Mac Naughton go for that, and I didn't ask him.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want him to give him 2 more bourbon he could hold down at one time. But I will go back on that after you talk to Mac and you all see what problems it has and evaluate it, and then talk to me, and I'll go back to that and Rusk.
Yes, sir. Well, I'll do that.
Okay.
I'm very, very much on it.
Thank you. So I just consider it's over with, except Unless something happens with Rusk, and I'll be in touch with you. If it does, and I'll talk to him right away.
Well, I won't have to look at these television shows, then.
No, no. But don't even say that to anybody
that
we even talk.
Oh, no.
But you could find if you got any real strong person that's highly respected that you think that you would hire to represent you to go in the courtroom with Frank Stanton and Bob Kintner and Leonard Goldenson and Jim Haggerty.
How old a man?
Well, I don't think it really makes too much difference. I think a man can be up in years. I think he ought to be, have some maturity, because the chairman is a pretty young man, and I want my man to be kind of a Mr. Acceptability, or Mr. Wisdom, Mr. Good Judgment, or Mr. Pro Bono Publico, without any questions. Ms. Johnson has a television interest, and we never go before that commission. We'll never ask for anything. The only thing they do is renew the license every 3 years. We disqualify ourselves, any connection, but the person I want on there is a person that they know is of sufficient stature that nobody could ever influence them in any way. Now, we're not going to try to. We're not going to discuss it with them. We're not, no one connected with us. It's all in trust, handled by a trustee for a bank.
Yeah.
But I can't divorce her, and she won't give that up, and she's a journalism student. She worked on newspaper some, and she's not, her child's going to marry and go down and work at it, and it's kind of like, I don't guess Kennedy would give up the Chicago Mark. She's just not going to give it up. But the reason I want an outstanding person, instead of just, I could take a routine someone, but I want somebody outstanding that nobody in the world would look at and doubt that he was pro bono publico.
There's a man who, when I resigned from the UN in 1960, Eisenhower promoted Jerry Wadsworth to be representative, and then he made the deputy, who has rank of ambassador, from my chief of mission, chief of staff, James W. Barco, B-A-R-C-O. He's got the... He's a small man in stature, not impressive looking, but he's a fine man, very good brain, lawyer, and was the greatest expert we had in the U.S. government on the Palestine question when he was in the State Department. And he's got good taste, he's incorruptible, he's a lawyer, and he would perform beautifully. Now, he's not a public character. I don't know whether that kind of a man.
Yes, I want somebody that's got some public character. I want you. I want George. I want somebody that you can look at that looks clean and honest and able and looks just as good as Frank Stanton. You ever see Stanton testify? I mean, he looks like the boy wonder, you know, and he looks young and clean and able and pure.
Yeah.
I want my man to look pure, too, and I want him to be able, and I want him to be able to match wits with him. And that's a pretty good assignment with Stanton and Kentner and Sarnoff and,
yes, it is.
And Jim Haggerty and Leonard Goldenson and these fellas, because they all know how to look after themselves. Now, I want somebody to look after the country.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that we're going to do anything to take them over, but it means we can have a area of agreement. But
we've
got to have somebody that's really our Clarence Darrow.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's right. That's right. That's right.
I wonder, what about Jerry Wadsworth?
Jerry is a very able speaker. He's got the talent for that.
Has he got any judiciousness about it?
He's a very fair-minded man. He's got a good mind. He's had a lot of trouble with his wife, who's nervous, you know, and has tried to kill herself and that kind of thing, which has been a great worry to him. She's much better now.
But he's as clean as a hound's tooth.
He's as clean as a hound's tooth. He's absolutely incorruptible. He presents himself well.
Is he reasonably moderate, progressive, or is he?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Very much so. I think he's very much on your wavelength, I think.
I wonder, what's he doing?
Well, he lives here in Washington. He the thing that interests him just at present is this League for Americans Residing Abroad, which isn't much of a thing, and he's been lecturing. He's a damn good lecturer. And he hasn't really got full-time employment at the present time, I don't think.
Oh, God, I think... Now, isn't he a pretty, pretty substantive and able fella?
Oh, yes. Well, I don't know. I gave him my choice as a deputy, you see.